What? If there's not enough, can you do mind copying?
You holding a big box of donuts?
For afterwards. I'll make an announcement right now. It's not for everybody. Donuts?
No, it's a little rounding.
Yeah, there's like, here, start again. Right now, ready with the feeling of Sukkot upon us, the idea being that we walk out of Yom Kippur in the awe of the day. And now we head into really the continuation of all the Chagim, really the culmination of the Chagim, in which we feel we just get involved in Sukkot. Sukkot is really chock full of mitzvot. So what I want to talk with you in the short time ahead is that I wanted to ask a number of questions to start off with, or a certain like a quick review of some of the halachas of Hilchot Sukkah. And the question will be, you know, I have a number of whys on that, you know, why questions. And then afterwards, we're going to talk a little bit about marriage, a little bit about Shabbos Kodesh, a definition of Shabbos through the eyes of the tefillot on Shabbos. And then afterwards, be able to understand the outline of the Chagim throughout the year and be able to explain a little bit, or give maybe a greater appreciation of Chag of Sukkot. A lot of the material that I have is from different places in the Rebbe Mislon and the Netivot Shalom, which if you haven't met him yet, then I just want to introduce you to the Rebbe in the Netivot Shalom. It's the Slonim Rav. It's very popular amongst the people throughout the world, even though it's a Hasidic Rebbe, but it's become very popular throughout, obviously, the Hasidic belt as far as the Yeshiva belt as well, because it's just, he has five volumes on the Chumash. If anybody has not received yet, is anybody who's missing a page? He has five volumes on the Chumash. Excellent questions. Like, he starts out with very solid questions on Pshat. And then afterwards, and there's also, he has a Chelek Aleph on Yisod HaEmunah and a Chelek Bet on Shabbos and the Chagim, and I highly recommend it. And also, the way he splits down is that usually there is something that's they're shorter at times, and you could use those to prepare for Shabbos Kodesh. So, with that, let us begin. We are going to begin, let's take a look at the page which says Hilchot Sukkah on the top. I'll ask you a number of questions about Hilchot Sukkah, and then we shall head on. If you think about all the Chagim, think about the Chagim throughout the year, you'll see that Chag HaSukkot is the one that's chock full of mitzvot, right? Offhand, just shout it out. What comes to mind? I say Sukkot, you say? What? Lulav and the Esrog. Sukkahs, we'll see 24/7. In Eretz Yisrael, you could do it. In Chutz Laaretz, it's a little bit more difficult. People are either frightened to stay in their sukkah at night, or it's raining or something. There was a girl visiting from Montreal. I don't know if she came down. If so, I was going to say something about Montreal. But my childhood memories is being for Sukkot in Montreal with snow on the ground up to your knee. Being there, I was like about 7 years old, so up to your knee doesn't mean that much snow. But it was like, it was last night, but I remember so clearly, it's like, really like etched into my childhood memory, is that we were sitting in the sukkah with our winter coats on, and it was so cold. How cold was it? It was so cold that we were sitting in our sukkah with our winter coats, and when they brought out the chicken soup, because it was freezing, but the chicken soup was hot, so it started like evaporating out, it started condensation. So the chicken soup was like coming up, the steam from the chicken soup, and then it condensed. And we're basically sitting in a sukkah in chicken soup vapor. So if that's not from in Jewish and Kadosh, I don't know what is. But that's what it was like. I remember it so clearly. It was amazing. But I don't know if that's exactly what they had in mind when Kadosh Baruch Hu said you should sit in your sukkah. I don't think he had in mind, Arctic weather. It's supposed to be here in Eretz Yisrael. And when we sit in the sukkah 24/7, and the question obviously will be, why is that? Why is this such an emphasis? But b'chol ofen, we had Lulav and Esrog, we had Sukkah. What else comes to mind? You can do better than that. Hoshanas. We have in the base of Mikdash, we used to walk around the Mizbeach. There was the Aravot. They used to bring this huge Aravot from Motza and bring it up into Yerushalayim. They'd lay it on top of the Mizbeach. But there was a whole procession, everybody going around, hakafos around the Mizbeach. We also had Simchat Beit HaShoeva, nechon? So at night, they would be dancing in the base of Mikdash the entire night, and then afterwards, you'd run down towards the morning. If you think about, you'd walk out of the base of Mikdash, go down towards the Silwan, towards the Shiloh, and then they'd draw towards the morning, Simchat Beit HaShoeva. They'd be Shoev Mayim from the Silwan, and then they'd bring it back up, and they'd do the Korban of Nisuch Mayim on the Chad. But you'd dance the whole night, there'd be celebration the whole night, and the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah, Mishal Lora Simchat Beit HaShoeva, Lora Simchat B'Yomav, or such a blast, and then you come in the next morning, you do the korbanos. They would go through the korbanos, and you have halel, and that's another big mitzvah, halel kol sheva. You have halel, and the aravos, and the akafos, and then you'd have the lulav and esrog, and then by the time you finish shacharis and the korban musaf, it'd be towards the end of the day. You go back to the sukkah, you have to do the simchas achag, and then it'd be also the korbanot of the chag. By the time you finished it all up, it was time to get back and start to dance again. And this happened every single night. And as we know from Yonah, from the Yonah from yesterday, the Navi Yonah, they said that Tosa says the beginning, he says that he was Shoev his Nevuah from the Simcha Peter Shoeva during Chag HaSukkot. So it's like a remarkable time. The Gemara says that people were so busy dancing and doing involved in all the mitzvahs of Sukkot that it came to a point that they used to fall asleep on each other's legs. Like, you know, they'd like rest their heads on the next person's berkayim knees. And that's basically, they had no sleep. 24-7 of constant celebration. No sleep whatsoever. It was a wild time. Wild time. Chag HaSukkot is the chag, which is chock full of mitzvot. It's 24-7 mitzvot. And that's the question, is why is that? Why is there so many mitzvot on this chag? Particularly, when you think about Shavuos, you come up with how many mitzvot say, let's say, in Chag HaShavuos? What? Nobody's saying anything, and that's because you're Shalavim for women from Shalavim, and WFSs, and that's the correct answer. There's no real mitzvah asay from Chag HaShavuot, maybe the Korban. When you think of Chag HaPesach, what do you come up with? Matzah, the first night. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, first night. Korban Pesach, first night. The rest of the seven? Nah. You could go back on your protein diets and it would be okay. If you eat matzah, there's halal. But if you eat matzah, then you get a mitzvah. But otherwise, you don't have to. Okay, so Sukkot, question one. Why is it so the chag that's chock full of mitzvahs asay? Question one. Question two. Let's take a look at the page in front of you. Hilchos Sukkah. Number one on the page. B'sukkot teishu shivat yamim. Tell me what's funny about this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Siman Tav Reish Chaf Hei. B'sukkot teishu shivat yamim. Ki b'sukkot toshavti et b'nei Yisrael. Hey manane kavod, shehi kifan behem lebal yakem shrav v'shemesh. Anybody? What's funny about this, I'm going to give you this one. I'll ask you the next question. What's funny about this is that it's very rare that the Shulchan Aruch himself, it's a halachic sefer, it's very rare that he gives reasons for mitzvot. And the fact that he says that you're sitting in the sukkah to remind you of the anane kavod is an exception to the rule. Why is it that he wants to present to us this understanding that we're sitting in the sukkah because we remind ourselves of the ananeh kavod that Hashem sat us in when we left Mitzrayim and we went through the 40 years in the desert? And the Mishnah Berurah, number 2 on your page, says, "V'kosvu acharonim," that the acharonim halacha, "sheyachavein b'yeshivatam shetzivano kadosh baruch leishev b'sukkah zeichel yetzias Mitzrayim," that you have to have in mind when you're sitting in the sukkah, that you remind yourself that God took us out of Mitzrayim and put us into sukkahs, "v'cham zeichel ananeh kavod shekivan az Aleinu, Lagain Aleinu. That God protected us when we were in the desert, min hashrav ha-shemesh, from the sun and from the heat. Because let's say yidei ha-mitzvah kitikuna, that's in order to be yotzei l'chadchila. Hadiyavad, yotzei koshi yichavein letzei levad. And if you have just in mind, I'm going to the sukkah because I want to be yotzei the mitzvah sukkah, that's sufficient bidiyavad. But l'chadchila, you should have in mind this whole hashkafik thing that I'm sitting there in the sukkah to remind myself of the ananei ha-kavod. And that's a question, why is that? Where is it? Why is it that there's so... The emphasis in this mitzvah, of all the mitzvahs, of a lot of mitzvahs, is that for the reason. The reason is given the Shulchan Aruch, and they want you to concentrate on the Chachila. Why is that? Number 3 on your page. Keitzad mitzvah yeshivat besukkah sheyei ochel v'shoseh v'yoshenu mitayel. That you should be able to eat and drink, and you should sleep there, and you should be mitayel and go for a hike over there. So this is the Mishnah Berurah, number 4 on your page. Halacha bet. V'yoshenu mitayel. V'chein im yirtzeh l'saper m'chavero. If you want to talk to your friend, yesaper besukkah. You should do it in the sukkah. The sukkah tzrich liyot kebeita. V'chol hashana k'mo shemesayim ha-mechaber. It should be just like your house. L'fisha k'dushat ha-sukkah. And it should be just like your house. And therefore, you should talk to them. L'fisha k'dushat ha-sukkah g'dolam ha-od. R'ui l'mayei ba b'divrei chol. L'dabir ba g'im k'dusha v'torah. V'chol shaken sh'yazahir me l'daber sham lashon hara. V'rechila sh'shar dibur ma'asirim. Should be in the sukkah 24-7. What should you do? You should talk to your friend. You want to talk to your friend, talk to your friend. But be careful. Really, for sure not to do an isser. Why? Somehow it's in the front of the sukkah. We have to understand why. Question 2. And also, it shouldn't be an issa, for sure not, but it should be not even sichas chulin. It shouldn't be just stam talk. It should be different Torah, different kedusha, things of that sort, if you can. Your friends come over, you like to chat with them. But it should be done in the sukkah, not on the couch in the living room. So in this country, most of the time, we're able to actually do that. People move out to the sukkah. We take our phone, you take your phone, you put it in the sukkah. There are people, we move couches out to the sukkah. I mean, because we don't worry for so much about the rain. Or if you know there's going to be a rainfall, you get warned, me, Rosh. In America, obviously, it rains a lot during Chag HaSukkos. It's a change of seasons, and there's a lot of rain coming down. So this country, though, you can go out. People move their couches out and their beds out to the sukkah. We have two sukkahs. We have the main sukkah downstairs, and then up on the porch, we have a sleeping sukkah. And that's where it's sort of like about yay high, because it's easy to build. I could do it in 5 minutes, because I use the banister from the mirpesa, and I just put one board across. It takes 5 minutes to prepare. We crawl into our sukkah. It's like minimal height sukkah. And, you know, you put your beds out there, and you put the mattresses. That's Chag HaSukkah. And the question is, like, this is an emphasis. I understand that why as well. Back, if you go up back to the halacha, number 3b, V'dar b'sukkah kol shivat hayamim bein b'yom bein b'layla k'derek shudar b'beito. It should be just like being in your house. B'shar yamot ha'shana v'chol zayin yomim oseh adam et beito harai v'sukkato keva and keitzah kelim ha'noim. All the nice clothes, nice dishes, nice stuff. You bring out matzaot ha'not, you bring out the nice couches to the sukkah. V'kli shtiyah k'gon ha'shishit v'kosot b'sukkah. You can leave your pitchers and your cups in the sukkah. Av'kli achila la'achar achila. If you have dirty plates and dirty stuff, you should bring it outside the sukkah. So the Mishnah Brua number 5 on your page says, chutz the sukkah, mikomakom b'diavadim, yichnis b'tochal kli ma'achala, sabba tashmish b'zui, ein ifsel et ha'sukkah b'kach. That if you do leave your dirty plates and dirty pans outside, it's not going to parcel your sukkah. Okay, fine, that seems to us pashut, because we don't think in terms of parceling a sukkah. But there was a havamina that you might be parceling your sukkah that the Mishnah Berurah had to relate to. He says, that doesn't parcel up your sukkah. So that's interesting also. Like, why would I have a havamina that's going to somehow be such an affront to my sukkah that's going to parcel up the sukkah? In my house, like, I like to take that upon myself, that after we finish the meals, obviously we clean off. But I like to, at the end of a big meal, that's my thing. I like to sweep out the sukkah and to set up the plate. You know, make sure that it's always nice and tidy and beautiful, because it's something very special, as we'll understand tied at the end of the shiur. But halakhically, they also demanded of you not to leave your dirty junk in the sukkah. It's not supposed to be there. And that's in the halakh. You see, it's in the Mishnah Berurah over here. There's a mitzvah, by the way, you guys know about this, that you're not supposed to touch the schach. You're not supposed to touch the schach the entire 7 days. Schach's off limits. It's muktzah. The pashtus, practically speaking, it's a concept of muktzah. That's something that's a mitzvah. It's mitkatzelim shem mitzvah. So it's a mitzvah. I'm not supposed to touch it. It's mukzah for the mitzvah. But there might be a metaphysical understanding as well that we have to understand. We talked about this last time when I talked to you about metaphysics. One of the greatest examples of the metaphysics is ha-machlila asos, right? That God takes a neshama. Neshama, which is a spiritual entity, which is not bound to time and place, and yet God's able to take this neshama and shove it into your body. And does lock the neshama somehow into a physical being. That's one of the ultimate metaphysical concepts. I talked to you about that here in Eretz Yisrael. When we ingest the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, we're ingesting Kedusha within our bodies. That's, and thus we have, you know, the Bach is Mekayim, the Nusach, Lechol Mirpiyav L'Sbom Yitzuvah. So we did that last time. I'm not going to go into it. But there is metaphysical concepts. For sure, Pi Kabbalah and the Hasidus Yav, always they look at things on a metaphysical level. When you come in sukkahs and you take your lulav and esrog and you shake it around, you shake it in different directions. Practically speaking, I could talk about that if, you know, that I want to educate myself in that, that, you know, that the whole world is, you know, we pray to Hashem that He should help us with all, like, I guess the climate that surrounds us in the entire world. But on a metaphysical level, we have an understanding that I have a tefillah, that my holding of my lulav and esrog is a tefillah, and therefore I am actually affecting the climate for the year ahead. What's this idea that's the metaphysics? So we're going to do something today that's metaphysical and help us maybe appreciate greater what's happening on the Chag HaSukkos, and that's the approach we're going to take. So in order to do so, that was the introductory questions on Chag HaSukkot. We are going to understand, again, we want to understand why is it that the Shulchan Aruch is so makpid on putting the reason for the sukkah onto his halacha. Why is it that Mishnah Berurah brings down that the Achronim say that in this case, the biyotzi, the mitzvah, the chachil, you have to be concentrating on that reason. Why is it that I have a mitzvah being 24/7 in the sukkah? Why is it that I'm not supposed to leave dirty pots and pans in the sukkah? And why is it that the Setah HaKbada, that which I discussed, the sukkah should really be Divrei Kedusha? That's our opening questions. Okay, and with that having been said, what we're going to do is do a little bit of discussions. We're going to ask one more question on the page. If you flip your page, one more question about Shabbos Kodesh. and then we're going to start to give the answers. And afterwards, we'll talk about marriage, we'll talk about Shabbos, and then the last 5 minutes of the shiur will be the shiur. Everything up to now is the introduction, and then, you know, first 30 minutes is introduction, the last 5 minutes will be the shiur. But let's just take one more question on the page. If you flip the page as far as Shabbos Kodesh, you take a look, just to keep things moving along, the entire bracket over here, you should learn at some point on your own. It's the Gemara and Beitza, Daf Tet Zayin. But I'm just going to do number one, the smaller bracket, because just... whatever. If you have, if you want to hear the other stuff afterwards, come and ask me. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, number one, right? We flip the page. Be'inyan Shabbos Kodesh Beitza Daf Tet Zayin Amar Aleph, number one. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. Shem says to Moshe the following: Moshe, Matana Tova Yeshli BeBeikin Azai. I got a great present. Okay, what questions are you going to ask on this Gemara? This is like a, Moshe, Matana Tova Yeshli BeBeikin Azai. I have a very nice present that's hiding in my storage room. Shabbat Shema, its name is Shabbos. Banim Evakesh Litnali Yisrael, I want to give it to the Jewish people. Lech Vahodiyo Otam, and go ahead and tell them about it. Okay? And the Gemara continues afterwards. From this, you learn that if you give a kid a present, you're supposed to let the mother know, and to add Achdus in Yisrael, and if the mother's not around, so smear a little bit of the chocolate bar on the kid's face, so when the kid gets home, the mother says, what are you doing with that chocolate over there? And then they say, well, somebody gave it to me. Who gave it to you? And that's how you build Achdus with an on Yisrael. Unless she's a wife of a dentist and is upset with you. But usually it works. You know, you give them a present. You give a guy a child. I always wondered about this. They give a person a hitchhike, a tramp. So do you say, send regards to your parents so that they should know that you gave their kid a tramp? Or is that like, you know, you don't have to go look for thank yous for yourself? Based on this Gemara, you do say so. You say, tell your parents hello. You know, and this way they'll know that they gave the kid a tramp. Because it adds ach the sinam yisrael. Stay there. What's the questions? The obvious questions you have on this very short two lines in the Gemara. If you had to write this more Gemara in a more succinct fashion, how would you do so? Moshe, he goes, Moshe, I got a great present for the Jewish people, and I have it in my storage house. And its name, by the way, is Shabbos. Go tell the Jewish people about it. How would you say? You say, listen, Moshe, command the Jewish people about Shabbos. Isn't that the normal way to do it? That's what we do all the other mitzvot. What's this idea about Matana Tova Yeshli BeBeikin Azai? Why it's a special thing. It's Matana Tova. Number two, what do you mean Shabbat Shema? Its name is Shabbos. It's like an emphasis on the Shabbat. And then afterwards, Lech Vahodiyam, go ahead and tell him about it. What do you mean go ahead and tell him about it? We give a commandment of all the 613 mitzvot. Why specifically is it like, can I tell them something about Shabbos that's important? All right, that's your questions on this Gemara and Shabbos. Yafeh. Now that we've done that, this is a permanent marker. Now that we've done that, let us go ahead and talk about a little bit about Jewish marriage. And marriage is always a fun topic. And then we'll talk about Shabbos Kodesh. Here we go. Numerous years ago, when I used to teach boys, I had more of an opportunity. You know, two of my nephews, I was Masada Kedusha, but when I was a boys yeshiva, it gave me more of an opportunity. I remember my very, very, very first time I was Masada Kedusha. I was a nervous wreck. It was very scary, you know? You're going to be here tonight? It's very nervous, okay? I have to give credit to anybody who's from, I think, West Orange. I think he's retired now, but there's a Rabbi Marcus in West Orange, something like that.
Yeah.
What's his first name? Rabbi. His first name's Rabbi.
Yeah.
He's retired. He's emeritus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Rabbi Marcus, such a great man. He saw that I was like a young kid, right? So he said, he kept telling me what to do. And then every time, like they started, I remember the chassan after the tish was starting to walk. So he kept pushing me forward. And I felt like he's the rabbi of the shul. He should really be the one who's doing the Seder Kedushin. He should be the one up front. Such a lesson I learned from him, the anava of the man. He kept pushing me forward. He kept saying, no, you have to be there. You're the rabbi who's doing the officiating. You're the one who has to be towards the front. And it was really amazing. So the guy was really running the show, just helping me out, and then he kept pushing me. It was really cool. So I remember that the rabbi, so we started out, okay? You start off the marriage. You start off first with the chassan's tish. Is that really part of the marriage halachic ceremony or something? Chassan's tish? I'm just writing up the ksuba over there. It doesn't have to be. Where's the marriage really start from? All right? So you come in, the first thing that you do is you gather the chassan and the kala, and you're standing up there in front of people,
And he says to the lady, he says to the Kala, Hare at Mikudeshet Li Bitabatsu, right? Let's do it this way. Hare at Mikudeshet Li Bitabatsu, the Kiddushin. The first thing is the Kiddushin. Yeah, you put this, so you take the wedding ring, right, and you say, you know, you tell the Eidim, you look at the wedding ring, is the wedding ring worth a Shavar Pruta? Is it really been bought by the Chassid? Does he really own it? Sometimes he doesn't own it. The father went and father bought it from the jewelry store and then gave it to the kid, but never gave it as matan officially. You have to make sure that the chassan owns it. And then he gives it over to the kala. That's called kiddushin or erusin. All right? This we translate kiddushin erusin as engagement. It's an accurate translation. Kiddushin erusin, they're 100% married. Except there's one thing, that you're not allowed, just because you're married, you're not at that point allowed to live together, really. I mean, she's not mutter to the guy. At this point, they say in the yeshivas that she now becomes asur to the rest of the world, asur to the shara olam, right? But she's not yet mutter to the fellow. She's asur the shara olam. In other words, she now has to wait for the next step. What's the next step of the marriage? It's called the nesuin. What happens? The Kedushin, they're married, but they're not allowed to be yet together. She's usher to the rest of the world. They're married. She's Nashis Ish. Back in the time, the Gwarn Ksubas tells us that he would go home and he'd start chopping wood and make a log cabin. She would go home and start putting together her dowry. They're not together yet. They have a very formal, it's a formal relationship that exists, but they're not Mechuyav one to each other. They don't have to do it. There's no, like, the conditions of marriage hasn't taken place. The Nisuin is at some point he built his live cabin and he brings the girl into his house, yeah? When he brings her into the house, at that point, now it all starts. He's mechuyev to her, what's called she'er kasut ve'ona, that he's responsible towards her to provide for her, to provide food and clothing, what she basically her needs. Ona means to be with them on a familial basis also. That's the prep that he's mechuyev in. She's mechuyev back to him also. They're married to. At that point, it becomes not just a formal relationship, but there's conditions that they become responsible one to each other. What is the nisun exactly nowadays? I mean, it used to be responsible to each other. It's a closer relationship. It used to be that he'd finally bring her into the home. So we don't wait for them to go home and for him to carry her over the lintel and bring her into the home, drop her off in the couch. We don't do that. What do we do instead? What represents the home at a Jewish marriage? The chuppah. The chuppah. The nesuin is the chuppah because that's supposed to be like their house. And he takes her to that. That's come to see that some people have a minhag. I don't know if you've seen this one. That instead of the chassan waiting in the chuppah for the kala to come in, the chassan actually walks out of the chuppah and he basically takes the kala and he goes with the kala back into the chuppah. I've seen that. Anybody ever see that one? That's a minhag that's out there because they're going as if he's leading her back into the home. That's this chuppah thing. That's when they become responsible to each other on a deraisa level. It's called she'er ksut ve'ona. All right? But that's, you know, the responsibilities that go one to each other. It's a big thing over here, responsibility. Yefeh. That's the nesuin. There's another way of accomplishing this nesuin. Anybody ever been? It's very romantic. Very romantic if you're a Yekka or if you're Sfaradi. If anybody here marries a Sfaradi? Oh, who's a Sfaradi?
I'm not.
But the Talis business, right? Anybody a Yekka? A German Jew? German descent? It's the Talis business. They're standing underneath there and everybody's watching. It depends which way. Are you going to be facing the crowd or away from the crowd? But they're there. And then the chassid takes the Talis that's on him and he goes and he wraps it around the kala and it's so sweet. No, what's that about? It's a romantic, but it's not a romantic thing alone. It's a halachic concept. What's the concept? It's one of his obligations to his talis, kasut. He has to provide for her clothing. So what he's doing is he's wrapping the talis around her as if to demonstrate that he's taking care of, you know, putting clothing upon her. That's a demonstration of nesuin. That's the other part of the chasen. My first chasen, I remember, right after we did the, we got up to the Sheva Brachos, we finished up the nesuin, okay, it went all right, I didn't forget to do anything. And then we got up to the Nesuin, up to the Sheva, the Brachos that come afterwards. And I remember that the grandfather was sitting. He couldn't stand for it. He was sitting under the chuppah. So I tried to get over to him. So he started saying his Sheva Brachos without grabbing the cup of wine. So good old novice, novice rabbi over here. So I grabbed the cup of wine. I was trying to get it over to him. But there's people in the way and he's sitting there. So of course, a little bit of that wine landed up on the grandfather's pants. And it wasn't the whole cup. It was okay. And at least it was white wine, because you don't want to stain the woman's kala, you know, her gown. But I remember, it was like pretty scary. And that's the Nisuin. What comes after the Nisuin? Yichud room. Obviously, the Yichud room, where you have the consummation of the marriage, is like the ultimate, is going to be the ultimate closeness. All right? That's the Yichud room. Some in the Sephardic communities, they understand the Yichud room as being the actually part of the Nisuin. But we look at it as being that's the culmination of the marriage, the ultimate closeness. And these are your three sections, let's say, of the Jewish marriage. I went to my first, this all happened my first time. It's like one of those things, you know. And it wasn't because I was the first time and inexperienced. It just happened on the first time, because, of course, that's one of Murphy's laws. That's the Jewish Murphy book. You've never seen the Jewish one, but it comes out, you know. If you're going to be a Sadik Kedusha, everything wrong has to happen on the first round. So I took the Chasen Kala to the Yichud. I remember calling up Rabbi Yossi Blau, Mashgiach in YU. I said, Rabbi Blau, how long do I have to stick him in the Yichud room? So he told me 10 minutes. Some people do 8. He said, do good solid 10 minutes. So junior rabbi over here, I stick him in the room, right? And junior rabbi, they're in the Yichud room, and of course you have to go through the Yichud room. You got to check out that nobody's hiding behind the curtains. It's like yeshiva bachurim think it's funny that they could hide behind the curtains and then pop out. I don't know, it's yeshiva guys. It's a different Ria. I don't know. And those yeshiva guys will someday be your husband. But anyway, they're hiding there. So you got to check out under the beds, under the drape. Everything's checked out. Close the door. Check the doorknob. Doesn't move. It's not. Okay, great. We're good. We're good to go. So junior rabbi over here takes out his little Mickey Mouse wristwatch, and he's looking, okay, 10 minutes on the clock, nobody's going to get them out, I'm going to stand here like I'm like this, we're going to raid him. And sure enough, after 5 minutes, the mother of the bride and the photographer, of course, the photographer comes in and says, new rabbi, come on, let him out, we have to start. You know, the family's waiting, everybody's waiting, the guests are waiting, we have to get him out of the yichud. I said, no way. No way. It's like So I said, they're not coming out. It's another 5 minutes to go. You know, they keep coming back. I said, no, 5 minutes. Okay, 8 minutes. And I'm feeling pressured. Okay, I said, oh, another 2 minutes. I can hang in there. And we're talking over there. And one of the eight of them, as we're talking, here's the door. We checked the doorknob. It was like locked. So as we're talking, he goes like that against the door. And
boop! Oh, my God.
The door pops open. And I said, oh. I'm just starting out in the job. No, I don't know what to do. Sure enough, the doorknob was locked, right? But the tongue of the door never locked in to the door jamb, you know? So the door wasn't locked. It popped open. Now, looking back on it, they thought it was locked. I thought it was locked. Mistama was a good yichud, and we had 8 minutes. But sure enough, you know, the door pops open, and I'm a junior rabbi. I don't know what to do. So the thing that comes to my mind is, quick, let's get him to the next yichud room that we can find. Get the caterer over. I said, get me a room over here. I need a locked room. So finally we find another room that he takes us to. They lock it in. 1 minute on the clock into the new yichud. The clock resets. 1 minute in. Who shows up?
Mother
of the bride and the photographer. And they said, come on, rabbi. Come on. The guests are ready. What are you doing to us? You're ruining the chasana. You know, gotta get around. That's my yichud room. I've been scarred for life, and I just wanted to share it with you. The psychiatrist said that if I talk it over with people, then it will, like, you know, be able to be a cathartic. No, I don't know. So anyway, that's the yichud room. Ultimate closeness. So these are the three concepts of the marriage. But on a formal level, the yeshivas, they say that when she does the kedushin, you have a formal entity, a formal marriage, but she's usher to the all of the world. But the nesuin is that which is going to be mater her, which is to her husband, mater labala. That's how they say it in the yeshivas. It's a two-step process, and then the ultimate closeness, the consummation of the marriage, comes with the yichud room. Ze ha inyan shel a Jewish marriage. The Avudraham, who's a Rishon, we're not talking about Hasidus over here, we're talking about a Rishon. The Avudraham actually says that this is something that is important for us to be able to appreciate Shabbos Kodesh, something that we go through on a weekly basis. So if you take a look at the bottom of your page here, I brought you a siddur. Number 6, 7, and 8 on the Shabbos side. Binyan Shabbos Kodesh is a siddur. I'm going to ask you a very, very simple riddle. Anybody like riddles? Riddles? Yeah, 1 year out of all. Okay, 2, 3, 4. Okay, good. Riddle. Here's a riddle for you. All right? If you think about, do two sets in your mind. Mariv Tefillat Maariv, Tefillat Shachar, Tefillat Mincha of the day of the week, and Tefillat Maariv, Tefillat Shachar, and Tefillat Mincha of Shabbos Kodesh. And if you compare the set of the week with the set of Shabbos, what do you obviously come up with? What's the big difference? What? Shout it out. I can't get them. What do you say?
There's less bracha on Shabbos.
That's true.
Huh? Same on the regular day. Like on the fall, like all the
Yafeh, Yafeh, Torontonian. There's not as much snow in Toronto as Montreal. That's right, though.
Doesn't Shabbos compared to like a Chazon and Kala on, I mean, on the day of their wedding and coming closer and like.
Yafeh, we're going to show that in the tefillot in a second. If you compare one tefillot to the next, they're different. During the week, every tefillah is exactly the same thing. But if you compare tefillah and Shabbos, one to the next one, they're different. Your tefillah shmonasrei at Maariv, all seven brachos, tefillah at night is not the same in the content of the tefillah as it is during the morning. You ever notice that? Obviously you notice that. And the tefillah in the morning is not the same as the one at Mincha. So why is that? Obviously Chazal, when they made up these shmonasreis, wanted to give over a theme. No. So what's the themes? What's the themes of Shabbos that's found inside the Shmona Asre? So this is not my question. It's not a Hasidic question. This is the Torah. If you look at the very bottom of the page, it's right over there. Number 3 on the bottom of the page. Matcha tiknu b'Shabbos gimel yonane tefilos atakidash yismak moshe v'atachad u'b'yom tov lo tiknu ela achas atav akartanu neisha elu gimel tefilot tiknum kenegid gimel Shabbatot. Atal Kiddashta. Okay, now it's up to you. What is it at night? Maariv at night. What's that Keneged? Huh? Maariv at night. What's the theme of the Shmona Asrei? Take a look at the Siddur in front of you. What's the theme of the Shabbos Maariv Tefillah on Shabbos? Huh? Excuse me? The Shabbos Shmona Asreis are connected different points in history. Different points in history. This Kedusha, but different points in history. What Shabbos in history is Friday night's davening connected? Shabbos Shel Bracious, okay? It's the creation. The Shabbos and Shachar is in the morning. At night, what says at night? At night, what's the main body of the Shmona Asrei at night? What is it? The creation story. That's the theme of night. What's the theme of Shacharis? Har Sinai. Yismach mot n'sheva mat naskol kol ki evi namak rasa lo klil tefes barashon asata. He has a keter when he comes down from Har Sinai. What's it? Klil tefes barashon asata umdol finecha Har Sinai. Shnei luchos avanim matan Torah. Har Sinai. That's what's going to be. That's matan Torah. That's going to be Shabbos. And that's in Keneged Shacharis. That's the imagery that's described. That's described straight into Shmona Asrei. What's the night one? Mincha. In history, there's a Shabbos in history we're talking about. At what point will it be? Ata achad, b'shimcha achad, mikam achad, yisrael goy achad, b'aretz tefer. Shabbos shel asid lavo. When everyone in the world understands that that's a Shabbos of asid lavo, when it's very clear that God is one and we're his one representative. Us is love. Yafeh. Three different Shabboses. This is very clear over here that if you look at Maariv, that's what we did already. Maariv is an idea of Aichul HaShemayim V'aretz V'chatzvam. That's easy. Okay? Now, what is the lesson learned from Maariv? What do you think is, what's the lesson being taught to you? When you daven at night, Friday night, what lesson's being taught to you? Simple. It's not. I'm not talking. This is straight up shot. It's not. You know. You don't have to know much besides just looking at it. What are they telling you? What did Chazal tell you? What do they want to remind you of? The basic story. That what? That the Kadosh Baruch Hu rested. Right. That he didn't do malacha. Right. No malacha. He rested. The idea of him resting. Yeah. What else? Just the concept of resting on the seventh day. Alright? That's a nice thing. Resting. He's resting. Okay. That's pretty much it. Is this, okay. Let's take a look at the next day. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko, number 7. You know, look at Shacharis. What's the main storyline over here? Matan Torah, I understand. Okay. What's the added lesson being taught to us in Shacharis? It's a very special, loving lesson being taught to us. Look at what's going on. You say this every week, right? We bring down a story. We don't bring down Vayichulu. What do we bring down? Yishamur b'nei Yisrael as HaShabbos, La'asos as HaShabbos, L'dor HaSam B'ri Salam. What would you have expected really to have been written over here? This Yishamur b'nei Yisrael is totally out of place. Why? Everybody know it. What's the beginning? What do we talk about in the first paragraph in Shacharis in the morning? Moshe's coming down the mountain, right? Moshe's coming down. Klil Tevez V'Shalom T'abam Dola F'nechal HaSinei U'shnei L'chol T'abanim. Right? Ketuv B'yadoh. What's it say? Horit B'yadoh. The Ketuv B'hem Shmirat Shabbat. What do you expect to see next? Moshe Nemar, what would you have expected to see? What's written in the Luchot? Shomor is Yom HaShabbos L'Kacho. Zechor is Yom HaShabbos L'Kacho. But the Chazal did a quick slip on you. What do they say? V'chein Ketuv, not in the Luchos, B'Torah Techa. Why? Because they don't want to bring down Zechor. They want to bring down this pasuk, these paragraphs. Shomer b'nei Yisrael to Shabbos. Why is it the Chazal felt that Shomer b'nei Yisrael to Shabbos is something that's more appropriate than just writing Zechor Yom Shabbos Lekacho? What's the key? What is being told when you read Shomer b'nei Yisrael to Shabbos? Asot et Shabbos ledor some bris olam b'ni uvein b'nei Yisrael ot hi li olam. It's an oath. What do you mean an oath? What's an oath? Chofetz Chaim says the following, Marshall. You ever go walk, anybody from small town in the USA? Small town USA, grew up in Yonkers. Nobody else is from a small town? Everyone's embarrassed to say so. What's yours, small town? Yardley? Where is that? Yardley, Pennsylvania, small town. Anybody been to Honesdale in the summer?
Yeah.
Okay, now we're talking. I got to tell you one of these times, the story about the pizza shop in Honesdale, but that's for some other time. So when the guy called me up and said, listen, Rabbi, we're kosher. This pizza shop in Honesdale. He said something along the lines, yeah, Rabbi Smith told me that if you kept the pizza on one shelf and kept the pepperoni on the second shelf, then that could be kosher. It's a greater story, but it was interesting. Paul, Honesdale. If you're walking down the street of Honesdale and you want a barber, yeah, how are you going to know where the barber is?
It has the
candy stripe, right? A pole, the candy stripe pole. In Honesdale, there's two barbers, Theobalds. They're all Theobalds. Anybody been, how many people Honesdale? Honesdale again, let me see. Marasha, Moshavah, they all come into Honesdale. The Theobalds are the ones who do, I thought that's a bald, is a good name for a barber. The Theobalds have, there's two barbershops, one next to each other. They're cousins, but they don't talk to each other. Why? Because there's a big family rift. How do I know that? Because if you sit in Mr. Theobald's barber shop, it's Mamashag out of, Andy Griffith. Did anybody see Channel 9, Black and White, you know, in the morning when you're a kid? They're sitting around there, everyone's in, and they're talking about what's going on in Honesdale. So they go, hey, you're going to Ed, you're going to the ball game on Saturday? What's the ball game? The local high school has ball game. That's about what they're talking about over there. At some point, the guy came, Theobald's son came in. It was very cute. He's the postal guy with one of those trolleys that he pushes. And he comes in, he has this cute little outfit. It's all blue, but it's like shorts, you know, one of those kind of shorts and like a little shirt. So he's in there, and that's what they're talking about. Theobald, Mr. Theobald has a vacuum cleaner that is, it's nailed to the ceiling. So after he finishes giving you a haircut, he like vacuums you off. I thought that was great, Mr. Theobald. So you hear, you see that there's a candy stripe. If you want to go to the post, to the pharmacy, how do you know where the pharmacy is? There's a little pestle and mortar that's sitting outside the pharmacy. I grew up with these things. You grew up with this? The barbershop, yes, but not the pharmacy. Because nobody knows what pestle and mortar is anymore. That's called putting out your shingle. That's called putting out the shingle. And you have something outside the shop which shows you what the shop's about. So I grew up with that. It says the Chofetz Chaim and Mashal that if a Jew wants to have a shingle that they're Jewish, that's the observance of Shabbos. Shabbos is a sign that we recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu created this world. Shabbos is an understanding in which not only did God create the world and then said it's spitting and walked away. But Shabbos also is a sign that we understand that God created for a purpose, that purpose being the Jewish people, and that he should take us out of Egypt and bring us to Sinai, that we should there get a list of what is God's definition of goodness, or in other words, what's God's definition of morality, and that the Jewish people represent that morality in this world in order to teach the world that what goodness is. That's why God created the world. That's why we constantly on Shabbos refer to Zeichel L'Maaseh Bereishis and Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. You got that down, you observe Shabbos. You take off your shingle, if the barber takes down the candy stripe pole, he's not home anymore. If the pharmacy doesn't have that, that means that they left. If you walk out from Shabbos, then that means you walked out from being Jewish. That's why in Halacha, if a person is Mechallel Shabbos Bifar Hesya, Mechallel Shabbos in public, in front of people, and you know what you're doing, then that's why you get a din of an Oved Avodah Zarah. If you are a person who's Jewish and doesn't observe Shabbos, you touch somebody's wine, it's not pasteurized, that becomes Yayin Nesach. Because a Jew steps out of being a Jew. Shabbos is the Os. Os hi b'ni uvein b'nei Yisrael. It's a sign that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has a special relationship with us. It's a sign that it's not a formal relationship, but it's something that's very special. We represent God in this world. We're partners with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world. All of you, and I'll talk to you about the Sefer Bereishis. You're all partners with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what you go. You go through life as linked in partnership with Hashem. That's what you're doing in this world. And that's the lesson that God is telling us. Davka in the morning feel, Chazal added that. We start out at night with the formal Shabbos that God created the world, but it's more than that. More than just that. The Jewish people have an understanding that Shabbos is meant for them, and it reminds them of their partnership with God. And it doesn't just stay on the level of, recognition that God created the world. It's much more than that. It demands of us to nurture our relationship with Hashem on a weekly basis. It demands of us to act accordingly, to take proactive moves in our relationship with Hashem as we represent God in this world. It's a very different thing. Shabbos, let's put it this way. Anybody from Fairlawn? Okay. Maybe Teaneck as well. There's something called Blue Laws. You guys have that? That's in Fairlawn, right? Is it in Teaneck?
Yeah.
On New Jersey, for those not from New Jersey, Sunday, stores are closed. In certain areas of New Jersey, it still goes back. It's called Blue Laws. They still go back that they're closed down. Why are they closed down? Because it's the Sabbath. It's the Sunday, it's the Sabbath. Yeah, in this country, Christians have Sunday, Muslims have Friday. There's a concept of a Sabbath. Why is it closed? Because God rested on the seventh day. Therefore, these stores are resting on the seventh day. The fact that God rested is something that the creation, that civilization knows. It's a universal concept that God doesn't do malachi. He rested, therefore we rest. That's a very formal relationship. I know God exists, and there's no demands upon me other than I'm copying it, but there's no real demands on me. I know God exists. It's a formal relationship with Him. It's a recognition that we have some kind of relationship, but it's not very defined in any way. However, there is the Jewish people, though. This is universal. But for the Jewish people, Shabbos means something else. For the Jewish people, Shabbos means that I have a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That God is going to be tight with me, and He'll protect me, and I'm tight with God, and therefore I'm proactive in my relationship. God explains to me our relationship is built on doing this and this and this and this, and I understand that God has a relationship towards me, that He protects me. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Through thick and thin, we're always together. So that's, on Shabbos, that's a very special relationship. That's not just a formal relationship that we know each other exists, but it's a special relationship. And I'm taught that when? Shabbos morning. That's why if you look in the Shacharis of Shabbos morning, you'll see that they emphasize this point. V'shomu b'nei Yisrael to Shabbos. This I heard from Rav Soloveitchik. V'shomu b'nei Yisrael to Shabbos. It's interesting. After they introduced to us this concept of the O.C. b'nei Yubayim b'nei Yisrael, and Chazal went out of their way to stick this in, and not Zuchot Yom Shabbos Kachal. Look at the next paragraph. V'lo nesato Hashem Elokeinu l'goyei ha'aretzos. This part of Shabbos. And here's the special lesson. Yisrael, nasato biyava. You gave Shabbos with a lot of love. Yaakov, the Shabbos is a sign of love between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's two names for the Sabbath in the Torah. What would it be? If I said Sabbath, you would say? What? Shabbos and Kodesh. What's another name for the Sabbath in the Torah? It's called that by Yom HaShvi'i. That's what it says. By Yechul HaShemayim V'Tzipotzah and by Yechalakim by Yom HaShvi'i. When is it that the Sabbath switches from Yom HaShvi'i to Shabbos? Well, in Bereishis, it's always Yom HaShvi'i. It's the seventh day. And everybody relates to it. That's Yom HaShvi'i. That's a universal concept. It switches over to Shabbos. Its name is Shabbos. When is that?
After Matan Torah. Matan Torah is called Shabbos, and it's continued called Shabbos. Yom HaShvi'i, a seventh day. There's a lot of seventh day people out there. But Shabbos Kodesh, that's an Os Beinu Beinei Yisrael. That's for the Jewish people. That's something very special. The world knows about Yom HaShvi'i. They don't necessarily know about Shabbos. The inner essence of Shabbos, the relationship that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the world doesn't know about that. That's something special for the Jewish people. How is it that the Jewish people know about that? Because it's passed down. It's part of the halachos of Shabbos. It's passed down from one Jew to the next, from generation to generation. It's part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. There's not much written in the Torah. There's lo taseh kol melacha in the Torah. But other than that, how much is really written in the Torah? It's part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. It's for the Jewish people. The lo nasatu Hashem Elokeinu l'goyei ratzos. He gave it dafka to us. Kid Yisrael amcha nasatu bi'ahava. If you have something that's very special, right, and you want to share it with a friend, what are you going to do? How do you give it over to the friend? What do you say? You walk over to them and you say, listen, what would be the filling of conversation? I got something I want to tell you. What do I want to tell you? I got something I want, like you say, over here, I got to tell you something. What do? You walk to the side and you tell them a secret, right? If you want to be winky, if you want to make a friendship, you walk over to somebody and say, listen, I got something I got to tell you. Don't tell anybody else. It's just between the two of us. I have a secret for you. Immediate friendship maker. Just the two of us. What you've basically done is excluded everybody else, and you put the two of you in some kind of a separate box. Short establishes a relationship. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, Jewish people, I love you. I want to give you over something very special. And you know what? It's not the Yom HaShvi'i aspect. It's Shabbat Shema. Its name is Shabbos. So the Gemara in Beitza at the top, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, I got a lot of commandments out there, and Moshe, and everybody knows it. But the commandment of the specialness of Shabbos, well, it's a Matana Tova. It's something very special. Because it's for the Jewish people, and makes them special, and it defines our relationship. Matana Tova Yeshli Bebeikin Azayin. It's hidden. It's not for all of the world. It's not universalistic. For Shabbat Shema, and its name is Shabbos. Something I only reveal to the Jewish people. And Leich v'hodiyotam, you have to go tell them about it because otherwise they won't know what it is. Shabbos is very special. The concept of a Yom HaShvi'i, of not doing lo taseh kol melacha, right, an Isser melacha, that's something that's universalistic, right? Everybody got it, universalistic. Everybody got it, right? But it's a formal relationship. It's like the Kiddushin. And that's why all it is a reference to not doing malacha, that's the Shomoras Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho, Nisr Malacha, the rest of the world has it as well. It's not as meaningful. That's something that is very formal. It recognizes that we have a relationship, but not more than that. That's also, okay, fine. That's that, and that's why at night, it's the Kiddushin. Establish a formal relationship, and that's why the tefillah at night, says the Abu Draham, starts out as Atah Kiddashto, because we start out with the concept of Kiddushin. The morning, we've already talked about, is that there's a special relationship. It's called Shabbat. That's all the positives. That's all the mitzvahs. This is the mitzvahs lo taseh, and this is the mitzvahs aseh of Shabbos. That's what makes a Shabbat. Shabbat Shema. It's all the mitzvahs aseh of Shabbos. That's why Chazal go to town to define Shabbos. This is the deraisa. Go ahead and tell them. But when you have, it's only Drabbanan. What do you mean it's only Drabbanan? It's the very essence of Shabbos. All of the things that the Chazal added on. So all the things that protect the Shabbos, the Dabar Dover, Minso Chafetzek, I'm not speaking about the stock market and all that kind of stuff. It's not just Drabbanan. It's a definition. It goes to the very essence of what Shabbos is about. And then all the added things, you know, it's the serenade. You get out, you sing smiros, and you have the candle lighting and all, and you finally take a shower after a week with your shiva. And then all these things that you do special. It's like the guy's dating a girl, romancing a girl. and it goes on Lexington and 34th. Yeah, and she's on the 15th floor, and he's like strumming away out there. I don't know, runs close and shoots out the window. She probably can't even hear him. But that's serenading the lady there, Shadim. And that's the mitzvah of Shabbos. It's all part of our expression of our love to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's the special relationship. That is the Nisuin. Nisuin is when you take the woman home, when you add the responsibilities one to each other, and it demonstrates a special relationship. And that's why you have at Har Sinai, Kaf Aleim Har Kigigit, that is the imagery of the Chuppah at Har Sinai. Because that's the Nisuin. And then obviously we're going to head afterwards into the Yichud room. The Yichud room being, as you go through entire Shabbos, you develop the relationship, and you're focused in on Hashem, you finally get to the Yichud room, so that's going to be Ata Echad, Shimcha Echad, Mikamcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz, and we're one with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's how it happens over here in the Ata Echad part in Mincha of Shabbos, when we talk about the oneness of God and the oneness of the Jewish people and how we come together. Beautiful. That's what Shabbos is about. Okay, once we got that down, is there anything I wanted to add before we go on? I had a boy once, he came back from yeshiva, from a Shabbos. That's when I was teaching in the yeshiva. He said, Rabbi, I had a great Shabbos. I said, really? What happened? Where were you? Which town did you go to? Which rabbi did you see? Like, what was so special about your Shabbos? The guy said, no, I slept 17 hours. I couldn't believe it. I said, you had a Yom HaShvi'i. You didn't have a Shabbos. I know guys from college who could do it in, Shabbos is 25 hours long, they could do it in 22 and a half hours. During final week, sleep 22 and a half hours. You enter into Shabbos, right, you dive in a quick minion, you finish like a half an hour or something like that. You go ahead, a bulky, get a little bulky and a couple of gefilte fish balls and some ketamine grape juice. Boom, you're out of there in 15 minutes, benched and everything. You're in bed, 45 minutes on the clock. Next morning, even if you go to down, you get a quick minion in, an hour and 25 minutes. So we're now up to 2 hours and 15. Another 15 minute stash of gefilte fish, 2.5 hours, boom. If he does shalosh shudas, so I'll wake up and have a feast of gefilte fish and mincha for 15 minutes. So I lied. That's 2.5 hours. That's 2.5 hours. 22 and a half hours. Slept the rest of the Shabbos. That's not a Shabbos, that's a Yom HaShvi'i. He didn't do any malacha, he stayed out of trouble. But he didn't celebrate the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He didn't romance the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's not Shabbos Kodesh. This is the idea. Shabbos is a marriage on a weekly basis. All right, with that having been said, so let us go ahead and figure out what's happening on the Chagim. And then we start Shir right now. Chagim, very simple. We want to start, when is it that the Jewish people establish a formal relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? And Chag HaPesach is going to be, and this is also, there's so much to talk about it. But Chag HaPesach is where Kodesh Baruch Hu stops the world and recreates it for the Jewish people. And this is obviously, as we go through the year, we'll discuss it more. But that's Yetzias Mitzrayim, basically. God stops the world with the Makos and recreates and he says to the entire world, the Jewish people are my people. There's a special relationship. It's a formal relationship at that point. We don't know much. We don't have any mitzvahs per se. We know we're not supposed to, call it Pesach. It's not really a defined relationship, but we know God is our God and we're the Jewish people. So we walk out of Pesach with that formal relationship, and then we get the Matan Torah, we get the Chag HaShavuos. Chag HaShavuos, at that point Hashem sets up the Chuppah and everything, but he says, listen, this is what I want you, this is what your relationship is defined as, this is what you have to do for me, and this is what I do for you. Kodesh Baruch Hu protects us, and Kodesh Baruch Hu takes care of us. He's ensures that we continue throughout. And when things we're doing what we're supposed to, he also says, I'll take care of you and all the brachas that you find in the Torah. And we have a simple list of things that, definitions of what good is for us to do in this world. That's the concept of what Torah is. That's the definition of our relationship. But it's Shavuos is where we revel in a special relationship that we have with Hashem. And the definition of that special relationship, and that is Nisuin. We go through the summer months. It's summer months, really, with the Tisha B'Av and all that kind of stuff. That was a little bit, we had a little bit of a tiff over here with our partner. The husband and wife got into a little bit of a fight. It shouldn't have happened. The chet of the egel should never have happened. If
it didn't happen, I don't know. It's like we got Yom Kippur to take care of that. Okay, so let's just take the summer months and put them on the side. It was a little bit of a fight, a little bit of a tiff. You should learn from that. One should never fight with their spouse. What they do, they should make sure to say, Salachti kidvarecha. Okay, we get past Yom Kippur, yefeh. So we come to the third of the regalim. What is it? We're now flowing. We're heading towards the Yichud room. Shmini Atzeres is the Yichud room. Sukkos is the Yichud room as well. Shmini Atzeres is the ultimate in the Yichud room. Shmini Atzeres is that Yichud room. It's that very special time of year when we just enjoy each other. And that's that famous Gemara. It's number 9 on your page. That's that famous Gemara in which in Sukkah, where Rabbi Elazar says that during Chag of Sukkos, there's 70 Parim, and that's the 70 Umot Olam. And on Shmini Atzeres, there's a Par Yechidi. That's connected on Yisrael. Hashem says, listen, I have a party, and the party through the entire time, everyone's at the party, but at the end of the party, like you send everybody home, and you say to your best friends, stay late after the party, and they help you clean up. And it says, I'm sending everybody home at the end, I just want you guys to stick around, that we should just enjoy each other's company, the Yichud. That's Shmini Atzeres. Chag HaSukkos is also, even though there's other people around, but Chag HaSukkos is the Chag in which we just enjoy the relationship with Hashem. That's why when we march out of Chag of Pes of Yom Kippurim, when we got that little tiff, we got it past us. We walk out of Yom Kippur. What do? When the whole preparations immediately for Chag HaSukkos, the minhag is that as soon as you come back on Motzei Yom Kippur is to start building the sukkah. This whole week is going to be in preparations, finding the Arba Minim, building the sukkah in Vav, and then comes the Chag for 7 days of Sukkos. You're basically in the Yichud room with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the Yichud room mean? And a metaphysical concept is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah, just like at the time that we were coming out of Mitzrayim, the Shekhinah surrounds us. If back in the Midbar you were any one of the Goyim, you looked at the Jewish people, you would see that you're completely surrounded by the clouds. That the clouds of HaKadosh Baruch Hu surrounded the Jewish people as a statement of God's love and protection of His people. That's the Yichud room that we had in the Midbar. On a yearly basis, that same closeness with Hashem comes into play. There's, in a certain sense, the Shekhinah comes close to us, it rests upon our tzel. And the Sukkah is called the tzel, the Mehemenusa, the shade of faith. And you're standing over there, and the Ke'ilah, that there's an added aspect of closeness with God, a closeness with the Shekhinah. And that's why we don't touch the, metaphysically speaking, we don't touch the Schach. Schach becomes muktzah to us because it has an added dimension of kedusha, because of the representation of the closeness of the Shekhinah to us during the Chag of Sukkot. That's why, with that closeness of the Shekhinah, that's why it is that we don't we have to take out the dirty pots right away from the sukkah. That's why inside the sukkah you should speak divrei Torah and divrei kedusha, and not chas v'shalom say something that's an affront to kedusha, such as lashon hara. That's why there's a mitzvah being in the sukkah for 24/7. Is the aspect, all the time that I'm in that sukkah, I'm basking in the glory of God's emanation. I'm standing right here next to the sun. And it makes sense, a lot of these halachas come in on a metaphysical concept, makes a lot of sense. It shows us that loving relationship we have. And basically, we're dancing the whole time. We dance through Chag HaSukkos, just celebrating the Yichud room that we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that special relationship. And as it gets tighter and tighter and tighter. And on a Deraisa level, you'll note that after 6 months of having these regolim, we got another 6 months ahead of us of the winter when there's no Chagim on a Deraisa level. It's supposed to empower us enough to know that relationship that should take us into the winter months and let us do a strong, solid Avodas Hashem. And then if we get a little bit tired, we'll hit Chodesh of Nisan and we'll rack it up, press the reset button on the side of the alley, and we'll start again. And we'll start reminding ourselves of our special relationship. The Chag HaSukkos is just one happy time, we call it. What do we call it? Chag Zman Simchateinu. It's one big blast, one big happiness, one big simcha of recognizing that we went from Kedushin to Nisuin to the Yichud Room. That we have a special relationship with Hashem, a very close relationship with Hashem. And that's something that if you internalize that message, it's not only something that reminds you of how one should act and keeps you acting in that responsible fashion to represent Yakovish Balkan's role, but something that fills you with happiness. Because you're fortunate to be Jewish and you're fortunate to have that relationship with the Holy Spirit. You should enjoy the Chag, enjoy your relationship, and empower you to be able to enter into a korah of a lot of avodas Hashem when we meet back here after Chag HaSukkot.
Thank you.
Let's meet back here in 5. I think that's here.